Exciting news. Gettle is now the official HVAC partner of the Anaheim Ducks and the Honda Center. Keeping things cool on the ice and warm at home. Gettle, your trusted HVAC and plumbing partner. Visit Gettle.com/ducks for exclusive promotions. G-O-E-T-T-L. We make comfort easy to spell.
Coast to coast, nonstop action. This is the premier source for National Hockey League news. Scores, highlights, and the Anaheim Ducks. It's time to light the lamp with Alexis Downey.
Excited to welcome on to Light the Lamp today, Jeremy Rupke, also known as Coach Jeremy from How to Hockey. Jeremy, thanks so much for joining us today. How's it going?
It's going great. Thanks for having me on.
So I want to start by giving some background to our listeners, a little bit about yourself, how you got started, and where your love for hockey began.
Oh, boy. I'll start at the beginning, I guess. My love for hockey, I guess, just came from being a Canadian kid. I was lucky enough to be born to parents that had a farm. And that's when nobody wanted a farm back then. They, but yeah, they were farmers, and we had a pond, and I just learned how to skate. They took me out to the pond and when it was frozen in the wintertime. And, you know, I say that I fell in love with the game there. But in reality, I was probably 4 years old and crying because of frostbite and it was too cold and this and that, you know, but you forget all those when you get older. And I have very fond memories of skating in that pond and playing there. And I just grew up from there playing minor hockey. And yeah, then I guess hockey, like my teammates sort of became my family throughout some, you know, there were some years that I couldn't play. We had some, like my parents got divorced, unfortunately, and there's a few years that I couldn't play just because of like family struggles and stuff like that. So when I was able to play and I was on a team, it's like everything for me was perfect. Like I looked forward to going out to practice every single day or every day I had practice. I looked forward to it in the games. And yeah, my teammates became sort of like my family. It was my consistency in my life and where I could kind of go and forget about everything. And, you know, the only thing that mattered was the game. Or, you know, the puck, right? Mm-hmm. So it was a great time for me. That's where my love for hockey really started, just my childhood.
What position? Then, I was going to say.
probably wing or center, depending on the year. Yeah.
Did you have a favorite team growing up?
I was always a Leafs fan. When I was younger, I didn't really watch a lot of hockey. Mm-hmm. But when I got a little bit older, I'd say like teenage years, I started getting really into the playoffs. And it was when the Leafs were playing Ottawa every year and just knocking them out of the playoffs in the first round. And there was a really good rivalry there. There was a good team with Sundin and Domi and Tucker and Shane Corson. So yeah, there was some good characters on the team then.
At what point did you realize, okay, maybe continuing hockey wasn't going to be it, but you wanted to still be a part of the sport?
Okay. So I think when I was like 14 years old, I decided I was going to make the NHL. I was completely clueless. Like I said, I missed a few years of hockey. When I did play, I basically was like, I had to get a job so I could buy my own hockey equipment and pay for my hockey registration. And that's when I'm like 12 or 13 years old. Like my parents weren't really like, you know, psycho hockey parents forcing me to the next level, taking me all these hockey camps. The first hockey camp I went to, I was probably 13 and I had to pay for it myself. So yeah, that's kind of like a background, mm-hmm. But I thought at like 13, I was like, I'm going to make the NHL. And I started really training maybe 13, 14 years old. And I think it was maybe when I was like 16, when I realized like, oh, I'm not playing in the OHL yet. And that's where like, I realized how the draft works and mm-hmm. all this stuff. And that's where it kind of dawned on me, but I still wanted to do my best. So I was like, I'm going to play university hockey. I'm going to make like a collegiate team or something like that. So I was training for that. And then I got hit by a pickup truck when I was riding my bike. Wow. And that was a career ender for me. Hmm. Not like I had a much of a career ahead of me, just saying. I was a little bit of a late bloomer. I took it too seriously too late. So after the accident, I broke my shoulder, I had a brain injury and the doctor said no more competitive sports. So I was like, all right, I'm a rec hockey player now. But I never wanted to give up my love for the game. I loved the game so much. So I was like, I'm going to always have hockey involved in my life in some way.
And then with that in mind, how did the idea of starting to create videos begin for you?
Yeah. So that was, you know, when I was in college, I volunteered to coach a hockey team, to hop on the bench. I was putting ads out on like Kijiji offering like, hey, I'll like, you know, private hockey training, $20, mm-hmm. you know, and I was coaching kids at like roller hockey rinks and stuff like that. I just loved teaching. Mm-hmm. And I loved just being a part of the game. So I had just gotten a job. I was going to be a police officer and I started making websites just for fun, side hustle type thing. Mm-hmm. And I was looking if there was a good hockey website and there was not a good hockey website. They were all like hard to find, not good information. So I'm like, I'm going to make a hockey website. And I was looking for YouTube videos to embed into the articles because mm-hmm. I'm like, it's so hard to type out how to take a wrist shot. I was looking for someone to have a YouTube video where I can just embed it. And I was like, here you go. The mm-hmm. whole idea is I'm making a website so anyone can learn how to play hockey. The basics, how to shoot, how to skate, how to stick handle. The videos were either non-existent or just terrible. Like a 15-minute long video with bad lighting, bad audio. They just kept rambling, right? So I'm like, okay, I have to make my own YouTube videos now. So I got a camera out and that's when I started the channel How To Hockey and decided to like sort of put like the basics, like everything I wished I knew when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. I wanted to make that really easy for anyone to find. So if someone was just getting started in hockey or like needed more ice time, they could just come on online, find a YouTube channel, find a video, and that could help them like help fuel that fire that other people had.
Did you have someone there helping you film at the start of it?
Yeah. So the first set of videos I filmed, I just put a camera on a tripod. I filmed all my lessons. I took it home. I put it on my computer. I watched it and I was like, oh, this is so boring. It was so bad. I deleted it all. I was like, I need to do this again. Mm-hmm. I asked my buddy to come with me, my friend Ken. And I was like, can you just get some different shots? Like you can be in the videos too. So me and my friend Ken shot the first five videos and I just made it faster, you know, quicker to the point, different angles and stuff like that. Went home and edited it. It's like, okay, this is way better. So yeah, my buddy Ken helped in the beginning stages, launch the How To Hockey, empire that it is today.
I was going to say, did you know much about the creative side of it when you got started or has that been a learning process for you too?
No, I just knew what I didn't like. Mm-hmm. So I hated watching a YouTube video when I'm trying to learn something and the person talks forever when they don't get to the point, you know, when the first 5 minutes of the video is wasted, when a video, like when the lighting was bad, I hated all that. So that's all I knew. I'm like, and that was my premise. The video should be about mm-hmm. 4 minutes long, get to the point quick, good lighting, good audio. That's it. That was my basis. And then from there, I was like, all right, I'll make that. And then my whole idea was like, each video should get better. Mm-hmm. I should improve it in some way. And that's when I started working like different angles and, you know, adding B-roll, adding some music, adding some sound effects and just, you know, learn as you go.
Where do you get your inspiration now to continue to come up with different ideas for your videos that, you know, aren't repetitive from what you've already done?
Yeah, well, there's a bit of a struggle there. Mm-hmm. Technically, if you watch any creator that has a ton of followers, usually their stuff is repetitive. It's not the same, but it rhymes. Mm. So each video should be sort of like the last one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Usually people have a bit of a formula and I don't really have that. I try to always throw something new out there. It's always, you know, Canadian or hockey sort of related in a way. But I kind of like the challenge of coming up with a new idea each time, which might be hurting my channel. I don't know. but yeah, my ideas come just from life. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times, especially on social, something just happens and I'm like, oh, I should record that. Mm-hmm. Or I'm just, you know, thinking, you know, what's a fun way to get to my hockey rink? Well, what if I made a skating trail all the way down mm-hmm. and I could just skate to my rink? You know, just little ideas that, that, you know, I try. It's just mm-hmm. creativity, I guess. But yeah, I'm usually inspired by life. Especially in the training side of things, like I'm helping my 9-year-old learn how to play. So I'm teaching him something. I was like, oh, that's a good video. And I'll make that into a video on the training side of things. Mm.
So the dad duties are helping you be creative now.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
As far as the backyard rinks, that's certainly a part of your brand as well. Do you get the excitement every year of getting to build that? Do you feel that still? And then getting to share that?
Oh yeah. Yeah. That has always been inside of me since I was a kid. I would just mm-hmm. sit there. It's like October and it's like a little bit cold and I'm checking the weather. When's it going to get below zero and for how long? And like, I'm waiting for the ice to form on the puddles. And then that means the rinks are coming soon. And yeah, I've always had that, that itch. You know, I just need to play some outdoor hockey. I want that free ice. I want to be able to skate anytime I want. Yeah, so that's always been a part of it. And every year I'm excited, just checking the weather nonstop for when we're going to be able to have the backyard rink going.
Do you get a lot of videos or pictures from people that tune into How To Hockey or your channel and just their version of the outdoor rinks?
Yes. Yeah. That's funny. One of the ones that I did was a mini rink a few years back, quite a few years back. Mm-hmm. I thought, what is the minimum barrier, the least you could do to make a hockey rink? And I was like, well, a lot of it is the maintenance mm-hmm. to do like a 20 by 40 or a fit, you know, the bigger the rink, the more maintenance you have to do. So I thought, what if I made the smallest rink possible? I made an 8x8 rink. It was 2x4s. So all I had to do, I threw down those 2x4s in a tarp, filled it with water, and I made a mini rink. And I actually got the biggest response from that. People all across, because it just took a night. It just took like maybe an hour's worth of work and one night of freezing weather, and you could have your own backyard rink. And I had people sending it to me. We made one. I made one for my 3-year-old, right? Because you don't want to build a 30-foot rink for a 3-year-old if you don't know if they're going to like it or not, right? I had goalies that were building it so they could work on their slides. Like, they just needed the crease area. So, yeah. But, yeah, I do get a lot of people showing off theirs. You know, I start showing off my beautiful rink, and then I get the DMs. I'm like, oh, check out mine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is what I did. Yeah.
That's so awesome. On your YouTube channel, Coach Jeremy, you have over 1 million subscribers. Did you ever envision that you would get to a number like that when you started it?
Nope. So my first channel was How To Hockey, and I was just training people. So how to take a wrist shot, how to take a slap shot, how to skate, how to whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And then after a while, I didn't want to make money off that channel. I just wanted to have it for the love of the game. Mm. And then, and when I started, you couldn't make money off it anyways.
Yeah.
But YouTube added monetization. And I did not want to add the monetization to that channel. So I started a second channel, and that one is the Coach Jeremy channel. I was like, I'll do some more entertaining videos. So I'm like going to find a frozen hockey cave that nobody really knows where it is, somewhere in Quebec. Or I'm going to the top of a mountain in California to find a frozen pond up there to skate on. Or I'm miking up my 5-year-old or 4-year-old to see what he says during hockey practice. So those types of videos, not training. I was like, I'll throw some ads on there. But still, I knew my market is mostly hockey players and it's limited. So I was doing kind of the math on like when I dropped a really good video, getting a ton of subscribers. I was at around 300,000 subscribers after a few years, but I was like, I need to get basically like 1,000 a day for the next, say, like 3 or 4 years before I get to 1 million. I was like, it's never going to happen. I'm getting like maybe 100, 200 subscribers a day. And then once YouTube dropped the shorts, the YouTube shorts, like TikTok style videos, that's when the subscribers just started coming in. I was getting like 50,000 subscribers in a month or something, which I had never seen before. So that's when it really took off. Yeah.
And just a reminder that we have exciting news. Gettle is now the official HVAC partner of the Anaheim Ducks and the Honda Center. Keeping things cool on the ice and warm at home. Gettle, your trusted HVAC and plumbing partner. Visit Gettle.com/ducks for exclusive promotions. G-O-E-T-T-L. We make comfort easy to spell.
You also utilize the TikTok platform quite a bit now with those short videos.
Yes, the short form videos really have been like, I guess, a saving grace. A lot of times I have an idea. Mm-hmm. It's not a big enough idea for a YouTube video, so I just want to do it, right? But, and a lot of times when I'm doing a YouTube video, there's smaller ideas within that YouTube video where if I pulled them out, it would be great for 60 seconds, right? For example, like the skating trail, I did a video on how I built the skating trail. Some people don't want to watch 10 minutes on that. They just want to see the results in like a 45-second clip, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe a few hundred thousand people would watch the full-length video, but like 10 million would watch the video of me just ripping down a 400-foot-long skating trail in my backyard because it's just crazy, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's definitely a good use for that short-form content, and it's helped me reach a lot more people. And yeah, I'm getting like views from India and the Philippines. Actually, I'll go off on a rant here. My neighbor is a pilot, and he said that he was in a coffee shop in Korea, and he heard a group of ladies like giggling and showing a video on a phone, and they were all in amazement. And he kind of looked over his shoulder to see what was going on, and I was on the screen.
Oh my god!
It was one of my videos.
Wow.
he, Yeah. He had just flown to Korea. And he's like, dude, I just saw you yesterday, and now I'm seeing you on a phone in Korea, like, and a bunch of ladies are talking about you. I thought it was kind of cool.
Yeah, that's amazing. Do you think that that's probably one of the more cooler interactions that you've had with, or well, not you directly with fans, but just any stories on that end that kind of stick out in your memory?
Yeah, that one sort of showed like I can see in my stats that people are watching from those countries, mm-hmm. but to have my next door neighbor like witness it live, it's kind of like makes it more real.
It's also helping grow the game of hockey in a different way. And do you feel that that's been a part of, you know, your channel as well? I mean, obviously being able to be global like that, but just helping grow the game.
Yeah. So my main thing is I want to, like, hockey was so important to me when I was a kid mm-hmm. that I wanted to make it so that other kids could experience that, what hockey has to offer, like the leadership and the coaches and the team aspect and, you know, winning, losing, like all these things that I had through hockey were so important to my life, like my development as a person, character traits and everything. Right. Mm-hmm. So that was my whole reason for starting the channel. And I thought that I would do it through teaching people how to play. And then once I sort of had a video for mostly every skill, that's when I thought, well, how else can I reach people? Mm-hmm. Well, just sharing like the cool parts of hockey, the lifestyle, the, you know, a different way to show like how I love the game and why it's such a great game. So that's when it was like the entertaining videos. And there's a lot of people that have started watching, you know, a video just because, like, oh, I don't even play hockey, but I love watching your YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. And then a year later, they said, yo, I started, you know, playing hockey because of your channel. Oh. So there's definitely, it's definitely helping grow the game. And I love hearing that feedback anytime a fan tells me something like that.
Last year, you had the opportunity to partner with EA and do a video with Rasmus Dahlin and Biz. How was the filming process for that?
It's great. And I'd say if that happened earlier on, I would have been nervous. Mm-hmm. But I guess I've just been like making YouTube videos and a part of like the hockey like scene for so long. Mm-hmm. It was just like another day at the office type thing. Like, obviously, it was cool to be with Dahlin and have that opportunity. But like it just flowed really quick. Like, you know, I'm like the YouTube guy. They're the hockey guy. Biz is like the, you know, the podcast, like personality. Yeah, biz. Right. So we just all did our thing and it was great. It just flowed really quick. We had the chemistry and it was a lot of fun and awesome to, I guess, be invited to do something like that. You know, to it kind of shows like the NHL and the EA seeing what I'm doing mm-hmm. and what Biz is doing and, you know, getting us all together. It was, nice to have that opportunity.
You were at the NHL All-Star Weekend in Toronto this year working with, you know, other creators as well. What was that experience like?
It's awesome. Like, the thing that I love about hockey is, you know, just there's no hate, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, people are all here to support us. Maybe it's an anomaly in our space, but there's no beef. Like, the content creators, we don't have enemies. Mm-hmm. We're all here supporting each other. We're all excited when each of us succeeds. So for us to all get together, it's a great group of guys. I'm loving what, you know, Nasher's doing, Zach Bell, Pavel Barber, Swaggy P. All these guys are beauties. And when we can all get together and make content together, it's just a great weekend, that's for sure.
Is there anything else on your bucket list that you want to do, whether it's a video or just working with someone?
I have like millions of ideas and no, I just need more time mm-hmm. to execute them all. And not each of my ideas is like a viral video. There's some things I want to do just because I think it'll help hockey players. And it's, you know, I just want to create like a system for a kid to follow to, like, you know, help them out. And then I have other ideas that are like viral video ideas. So it's kind of like a balance of like, what mm-hmm. should I focus on first? Is it kind of growing the business, or is it just making cool videos, or is it, you know, taking a month to kind of get this idea out of my head mm-hmm. that I think would be really cool for like a new way for kids to practice a certain skill or something like that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's the biggest struggle is deciding which one to do next, what idea.
It's always good to have more ideas than not, though.
Yeah, it's hard to pick like a bucket list idea because mm-hmm. I think my goal, like I feel like a bucket list is like once I do it, I'm done. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be done. Mm-hmm. My bucket list is just to continue, you know, just mm-hmm. to do meaningful, be create valuable content forever. Right.
Being a dad, does that inspire you in different ways with your content?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Once I had Mason, he was my first, my whole value in life and everything changed. Having a kid gives life new meaning. Right. So I had all kinds of different things to look forward to. I always wanted to have some like freedom in my work and work from home. Mm-hmm. So I have that so I can like spend time. Like I love being a good father and being a good husband. And that's very important to me. Mm-hmm. So like I could kind of grow the business more and spend more time working and take on all these opportunities. But I pretty much never travel unless, you know, because I want to spend more time at home with the kids. And that's like more important to me. But as far as like inspiration for the content, I want it to be a natural integration. I'm not trying to force Mason into anything or Olivia. Like I'm not trying to make them like hockey phenoms so that I can exploit them and use them in footage type of stuff. Like if they want to be in content, they're in content. If they don't want to be in content, they're not in it. So a lot of the inspiration just comes whatever is naturally happening. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like the Mike Dot Mason video, for example, I thought it'd be so cool. I've got a son when he was just born. He's going to be a phenom. I'm going to teach him everything. He's going to be like 4 years old and be like the next, he's going to be in every highlight reel. That's what I thought. Like, it could happen, right?
Yeah.
And then I realized like, he just wasn't that into hockey. Like he wasn't in rollerblades at 2.5, like McDavid was. And he wasn't rollerblading around the kitchen at 4, like Connor Bedard, right? Mm-hmm. He liked other stuff. So I didn't really put him in the content until that first video where I mic'd him up. And that was initially just to see what he was saying out there on the rink. And when I listened to it, I was like, oh, this is hilarious. I got to throw up a YouTube video, right? And then that one blew up, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, was that one of your more popular videos?
Yeah, I think it was the most viral. It was it was on the news in like Sweden. I was getting interview requests from like, I don't know, every newspaper and offers to go on to like shows. Like it wasn't Ellen, but like Steve Harvey, I think I was invited to.
Okay.
Awesome. I didn't go on any of them because Mason, he was 4 and like, he's just, I don't know. It was too much. Right. I'm like, nah, it's cool. Just like call in an interview. I'm not trying to get famous off this or anything. just let it run its natural course. But yeah, that one was probably the most viral of anything I've done. Yeah.
So Jeremy, how much hockey do you watch like on a weekly basis? Obviously, I mean, being a dad, being very busy, but getting to watch certain players, if you have a favorite player that you like to keep your eye on either.
Let me tell you, I wish I could watch a lot more hockey. Mm-hmm. It's just not possible. I don't know. I barely watch any TV, and just having like the business that I'm, you know, running and getting the content out and posting on social and then keeping up, you know, with comments and some DMs here and there, plus the kids and the wife, right? Like there's a lot going on. And then I need a little bit of personal time. I'll go and play hockey. Like I play men's league hockey. So I pretty much don't have any TV time except for maybe an hour after the kids are put to bed and the dishes are done and the house is put back together, maybe about an hour of downtime. And usually I'm spending that with my wife, right? So I'm not going to be like, hey, see you, bye. I'm going to watch hockey. So I'll watch a Leafs game maybe once a week. That's about it. But I do like checking the highlights out. Kaprizov, let me just say Kaprizov. He was a guy that I was watching a few years back. He was exciting, new, really good edge work. McDavid, obviously. Matthews, I love his shot. Usually when I'm watching players, I'm looking for something they're doing a little different, like Bedard with his toe drag release, how he pulls that puck in. I'm looking for stuff that I can like learn from that I haven't seen before and then teach kids when I'm out there coaching.
So you'll take those little techniques and then put it into your video and then push it out and try to help people learn how to do those things?
Yeah. So I'm on the ice a few times a week coaching as well. So if I see something new, I'll be like, okay, let's try that out. I'll test it out in the garage. If it's age appropriate, you know what I mean? Like if it's the right thing to be teaching the kids, I'll get them to try out. And if they pick it up and it's working for them, I'll be like, oh, that's something I could drop into a video. So I kind of like battle test the ideas first and then I'll put into a training video.
And do you have more help with your videos now that you're a little larger than when you started?
Yeah. So I have a full-time employee. And then I also have a few like contract guys where if I get a bit of a backlog, I can send videos off to them to do like 80% of the editing, mm-hmm. do all like the basic stuff. And then I do like the finishing touches.
Okay. Where is a place that you would like to play outdoor hockey? If you have any in mind that you haven't been to.
Yeah. China. I want to go to China. You can play hockey, out just outside of the Great Wall of China. There, you can see the Great Wall of China in the background. And the, I guess there's a lake there that freezes mm-hmm. over. I would love to do that.
Yeah. Get a video there too, while you're at it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess that's a bucket list.
There we go. There we go. Well, Jeremy, this has been awesome having you on DuckStream today. We appreciate you taking the time. Awesome to see how much you've grown over the years and also what you're doing for hockey as a sport.
I appreciate you having me on. It's great. It's a pleasure.
And get your home cozy with Gettle Rejuvenation for just $129. We'll prep your HVAC for the season so you're ready to cheer on our Ducks. Call 866-671-9822 or visit Gettle.com/ducks. G-O-E-T-T-L. We make comfort easy to spell.
This is an Anaheim Ducks original production on DuckStream.